Killer bots, killer bots, killer bots rock. Killer bots slash and killer bots crash. They have some blades and spinny things too. Whoops, the laser's pointed at you. Killer bots, killer bots, run for your life. It's a robot and it's got a knife. That's the killer bots. That's the killer bots. That's the killer bots.
They suffer. Hey, everybody. Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and even those that they nearly released. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Do you remember when May Company and Robinson's were two different stores?
Do you remember them as a combined store? And Erica?
Hey, Mark. Hey, Ryan. Do you guys want to head down to the mall and watch the bikini beauty contest?
It's taking place on an escalator.
Yeah, I thought you would never ask. Oh. Let's do it.
Oh, man. And we are at the end, guys, of Dicember 2, Sleigh Bells Ring, where we're talking about nothing but slashers, but we are about to go on a two-week winter break, guys. We're going to be seeing you in the new year. But we're going to talk about a movie that is a classic and is a nearly new world movie. One of my favorites. We're going to be talking about Robot, a.k.a. Killbots, a.k.a. Chopping Mall. It's unbelievable that it's not a New World movie.
It is.
It's like...
It feels the whole time like, this is a New World movie, right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
This is not the first movie that Jim Wynorski directed. He directed another movie before this, the poster of which is shown in the movie. You can see it in Chopping Mall, especially in the restaurant. That's where they have a bunch of posters up there. But this is the first one he directs for Roger Corman.
He also has, there's also the poster for Sorceress.
Right.
And the poster for Galaxy of Terror.
Yep.
In the restaurant. And besides the fact
that Slumber Party Massacre as well.
Right. And those posters alone, if I saw that in a restaurant, would almost make me get past the fact that it might be the most unsanitary restaurant that I've ever seen.
Right. An unsanitary restaurant where the chef is played by Mel Wells, who directed Lady Frankenstein for New World Pictures, who was in Little Shop of Horrors. In fact, when they go to the pet store, it's called Roger's Little Shop of Pets.
Mm-hmm.
Wink.
Also, I just love the name Mel Wells. It's the best name. Mel Wells.
Oh, totally.
Love it.
He has Paul Bartel and Mary Warrenoff repeat their Eating Raoul characters. So this is within the Eating Raoul universe, this movie, which is in and of itself, not only were they like people that had done a lot of work with Roger Corman and New World Pictures, but Eating Raoul is also a nearly New World movie. It was also, they went to Roger Corman first. So this movie just, it has so much. There's so many homages. They watch Attack of the Crab Monsters at the furniture store. They had a line where they repeated the exact lines that they watched in the movie. They actually say in the movie, but it was cut out of the theatrical. It may have ended up in the TV version, of which there is a TV version, and there are extended cuts of it, because here's how the movie came about. Vestron, of all companies, went to Roger and Julie Corman. Julie Corman produces the movie, and they said, hey, we'd love to get a horror movie from you that takes place in a mall.
Period. New paragraph.
And so she went to Jim Wynorski. They started going through a couple different ideas, landed on killer robots in a mall, sent it to Vestron. Vestron said, great. Now, Vestron was really just trying to get product, because this is around 1986, 85, 86. This is, they're just looking for video store product. And also Vestron, not only did they release movies at that point, mostly on video, but they also did TV deals. So TV, video. Concord Pictures, which is the company Roger just starts right after he sells New World, Concord New Horizons. So if he was able to continue to make product for New World, as he should have done, we would be able to talk about New World as a regular New World movie. But because he sold the company and they decided, we don't want to put out any more of your movies, he started his own distribution company. and he distributes this theatrically. Now, theatrically, he puts it out as Killbots, and it doesn't do very well. They go back, they trim a little bit more, and they retitle it Chopping Mall, and it does better, but it really takes off when it's on cable and it's on video. That's how this movie really does take off. But watching it again for however many times, it just was like, oh, I'm so bummed. This is not a New World movie. This feels, it has everything about it that feels like a New World movie. Jim Wynorski, who started at New World in marketing and then started writing, wrote the treatment for Forbidden World and starts writing, directing movies for Corman, does so many more stuff. Screwballs, he wrote for New World Pictures. It just has so many earmarks of New World. It has Dick Miller, of course, coming in, I think playing the, being named for his character in Bucket of Blood. It's just, it's how is this not a New World movie? It's frustrating.
I know we're not at final questions yet, but
we're not, and we'll never be. It's not going to happen.
But Concord New Horizons sounds like a name from a merger that hadn't happened.
That
none of that goes well together. That's like, we couldn't come up with a new name, and Concord wasn't going to back down. And New Horizons was like, no, we have brand recognition. So they're like, we'll just put these together. But that all happened in Roger Corman's mind.
Well, don't forget, when he sells New World, he actually starts Millennium Films, which we've covered those films he did as Millennium, and then realized that nobody could spell it, nobody could remember it or say it, so he says, forget it. And I do think at that point, he starts New Horizons, and then he starts Concord. So I think one's the production company, and one is the distribution company. So that he starts to...
But he owns both of them, but so he didn't them have both. To put yes, them together.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I know we're not at final questions yet.
We're never going to be, guys. Not gonna. It's nearly New World. We won't go now.
So I'm going to just ask a question now, even though we're not at final questions. If you had to name your production company or your distribution company, what would you name it?
Margarine Day Spa.
Wait, is that the production company or the distribution company?
It's both. They both merged at one point.
One margarine and one's Day Spa, and you just threw them together?
One was Day Spa originally, but then we acquired margarine and combined the two. It's Margarine Day Spa. So
Got it. Yeah. That's great.
Good. Yeah. That makes sense. Two great things that go together.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So have you guys seen this one before?
Yes.
Yeah. I've forgotten that I had seen it before, but yes, I had. But I don't think it will surprise anyone if I hadn't seen it, nor will it surprise anyone that I forgot that I saw it.
Yes.
I'm a film buff, what can I say?
As we were watching it, you said to me, oh, I know this one.
But it was like well into it.
We were well into it.
It wasn't like in the first few minutes or like the opening credits. We were well into it. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen this one.
Do you recall when you may have seen it the first time?
I don't know. When did you buy that copy that's behind you? Probably around that time.
Probably. Mark, had you seen this back in the day, Mark?
Oh yeah, I saw this probably right around the time it came out on video, so 87, 88.
One of the key
when I first saw
video
it.
Posters of all time. The chopped off hand holding a bag from some sort of store. It is it says Park Plaza Mall, which is not, I don't think, is what they call the mall, right? But
no, they don't. You're
no,
right.
No,
but I mean that poster. Some posters sell the movie. Like, obviously this was during a time that I hadn't seen a trailer. I had no exposure to what the movie was about, but that poster alone was enough to be like, yep, let's go ahead and rent that. That's got to be good. And I remember at the time being somewhat disappointed because the poster, the movie is not the same as the poster. Mm-hmm. That's not to say I didn't like it back then. I was expecting a different movie. But this movie, I would think, Erica, this is right up your alley. It is a cool, breezy hour, 17 minutes. And that includes credits. So it's really about an hour and 14 minutes of actual content. So this thing just sails by.
But the credits, there is a little end note right at the end of the credits where you see one of the robots again. So it really, that running time's legit.
No, I'm on board. It's good. It's enjoyable. It's super short. It's fun. It's in a mall. There's boobies. I mean, there's killer robots. There's an exploding head. Spoiler. I probably should have said spoiler first instead of second. But
preferably it's normally said before you say the thing. Yeah, that is normally how.
All right. Well,
but we're all learning.
Lessons learned.
5 years in, we're figuring this out. not that Jim Wynorski needed a push, but yes, Roger Corman did request nudity in this movie at least 3 times, which is why a naked woman walks by them while they're changing and getting ready for the night at the, I don't know, I guess the restaurant has a locker and changing area.
No restaurant job I ever had did I get nude and walk past coworkers. That's all I'm saying.
I guess there was like a shower when you're done serving. You're like, ugh, I gotta just wash off the gross pizza we serve in this place. So,
I mean, yikes. I think even if that would have been available at some of the restaurants I worked at, I would not have taken advantage of it.
You're like, I'll wait till I get home, like every other human being.
Yep. Everybody on this bus will smell pizza until we get all the way back to my place.
And you really worked in a pizza restaurant.
I really did. Yeah,
that's right. I don't know if Mark remembers this, but Erica sat us, you and me and our sister, when our sister was visiting in Chicago. And she sat us at a restaurant where we ate. And we were not dating at the time.
Well, because I was only like a hostess then. You wouldn't date a hostess. You had to wait till I was a waitress.
That's right. Until you were getting in there.
Until I was promoted to waitress, server, whatever you want to call it. And then you were like, ooh la la, now she's really raking in the dough. Now she's eligible for tips. Woo!
She can quit that second job.
Nope, still couldn't quit the second job. Still had the second job. It was a barista by day and eventually a waitress by night.
There's a couple of scenes of nudity, and it's at a mall. The mall being, the mall that they shoot this at is Sherman Oaks Galleria, which Erica also works at or had worked at. Or worked at before.
Correct. I have a lot of loose ties to this movie.
Yeah. You don't work there now, but you used to. And of course, the mall is different now. It's a little bit more open air than it was then, but so it's completely been remodeled. The thing that's still there is the movie theater. That's the only thing that I think mostly remains, which is still up a very treacherous flight of of escalators to get up there, because it is pretty high up there. But the mall remains. It's also more commercial space. And not as much mall as it once was.
An office space.
Yeah. But the mall was then used for other movies such as Commando, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So it was a mall that was often used in movies in the 1980s.
I feel like the Sherman Oaks Galleria doesn't capitalize on that enough. They really don't. You think
they don't?
I wish they were more proud of that. And they had like, I don't know, a little plaque or a little bench or a little statue or something.
Or a picture like, even of like, this
anything.
Is where this scene
like,
was
there's
shot.
No, there's no mention of that.
Specifically of Chopping Mall, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask.
They should have one of the robots there.
The Chopping
like,
Mall tour.
Welcome. Have a nice day. Like, that would be awesome. That would be amazing if they had
that. That would be nice.
They replace that fountain with just a kill bot.
Yeah, and I also don't remember malls having auto repair stores or big paint stores.
Big paint stores.
I feel like where we grew up, that didn't exist, but I don't remember that being a thing in a mall back then.
And the commentaries that are on the Blu-ray, they mentioned that the auto store is actually a different location. They shot that somewhere else.
That tracks.
But I don't know if they said that the paint store wasn't there. I think the paint store was there, but if they just turned it into a paint store, I don't recall. But I know that the auto supply store, what was there is you could get guns in a mall. but you couldn't quite get the the semi-automatic that they get in there.
No,
that's where they got a little cutesy with that. But you could get a gun.
Yeah, that tracks. You would have like hunting and outdoor supply stores in malls back then, and you could get guns. So
it's important to have a lot of hunting equipment for Sherman Oaks. Big hunting grounds in Shermano.
No, you know, now that I think about it, yeah. I mean, you have like Shields where they have a whole section of guns. I mean, it is an outdoor supply store. You know, they have everything from kayaks to fishing supplies, but they have a section of guns. And it's not like these guns are behind a glass case and you have to ask someone, can I take a look at that gun? They're just like out on racks and you can just pick them up and look at them.
You can get them at a Big Five here in California.
Can you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Big Five sells guns. I don't remember that.
Yeah. They got a whole section. This episode
brought to you by Shields.
Shields also has like a giant Ferris wheel and an aquarium inside of it. It's,
yikes.
It's a wild store.
Why? Is it the Mall of America?
No, it's just a chain, and they're like
how big does that have to be to have?
Oh, like it's massive. Okay. It's like three stories.
Oh, okay. Just wow. Okay. Of guns,
outdoor stuff,
outdoor stuff.
Guns, okay. Fishing supplies, okay. All kinds of outdoor stuff.
It's like
everything from running shoes, skateboards, snowboards, everything.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
well, you don't want to get the wrong size gun too, Ryan, and then look silly.
Oh my God.
You know,
you have to try it on. You
get one and then you have to
go down to the second floor and try it on, go to the, you know, the rooms and just go in there and try one on and see if you look all right.
The guns are like,
when you crisscross the belt of bullets on you.
Those would be shells, not bullets, but I understand what you're saying.
When Ryan's over there testing them out, they're like, sir, just put that down. You're in, go ride the Ferris wheel.
Right. Yes, sir. You're not welcome here. Mark's being the real gun police tonight.
Well, can we talk about, I just want to talk about really quickly the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
And I know we don't normally walk through the movie on these episodes, but I want to talk about this because I find it so, it like opens so well. First of all, you have a perp who breaks into the jewelry store.
Correct.
And, of course, steals pearl necklaces because in the 80s, pearls were the shit.
Yeah, they were the
bomb, that is
dude.
A trend that has never quite come back.
Nope.
Like,
I don't know. I think pearls are back. I do.
I don't know if the first thing that I, in a smash and grab that I would go for are the pearls.
The Youngs are bringing pearls back.
This is from the person who off mic said, which one is Martin Scorsese?
Well, that's not fair, Ryan. Well. That's just not fair.
Okay. So he takes his pocket full of pearls and he's running away and a killbot sees him and tasers him. And then we quickly cut to the fact that this is a presentation video that's being put on for presumably mall shareholders who have come to learn about the new security system that has gone into the mall. And what I find
that's
amazing,
a really good point, real, not to interrupt you. But to interrupt you.
No, but you're going to anyway.
But since I'm interrupted.
I know we're not at final interruptions, but to interrupt Ryan. To interrupt Ryan's interruption.
But that is a good question. Like, they're going through basically exposition, and it is a really smart, great scene, and you are totally bought in, but you do think later, who was that presentation for? Why are these just other people that work in the mall? These other, like, when you're including the Eating Raoul characters there, they own a restaurant. So you're thinking, are they trying to sell these robots to potential other people that own malls or restaurants or have places that need that kind of security? Like, who are these people?
I'm assuming they're shareholders because they don't ask too much about the logistics. I mean, and they're not asking about their specific store or restaurant. They're just sort of asking broad questions about the robots. But what I find so amazing is, and I agree, the exposition is great. It gets you you're immediately invested because they've introduced a killbot within 1 minute of the movie.
Yeah.
Then you see that they're really just showing how the killbots work to these shareholders. And it's so funny because 1987 was such a perplexing time when it came to technology, because we have robots, rudimentary as they are, but we have these robots that can shoot lasers that are autonomous and can patrol the mall without anyone using a remote control. They can just roam mm-hmm. around, so they have some sense of space. Mm-hmm. They have a different tasers on them to be able to just neutralize somebody. So they have all this equipment. But yet the video that they're showing is on like an old reel-to-reel yeah. that they would wheel into like a 1970s classroom.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you're showing off this high-tech solution on right. the oldest right. tech that you could find.
Yeah.
The only thing that disappoints me about that scene is that they didn't have one of the shareholders hold down the pinch roller on the projector, because you know how in school they would always be like, someone's got to hold the pinch roller because otherwise this thing won't play right. And like, I remember being asked by a teacher in second grade to do that and thinking it was so cool that I got to sit for 45 minutes and hold the pinch roller down. And then I thought, that is not a cool thing at all. Why was that a point of pride for me?
Because it goes out and you thought it would just keep spinning because no one's there manning it. So then it would unspool right. onto the floor and be like, oh no.
Right.
Actually, right. that whole projector, it's a 16mm projector, and it actually was Jim Wynorski's that he brought from home.
Wow. Well,
so
yeah,
to your point. Sense. To your point.
I mean, all they needed was like an overhead projector with a right. with a clear paper and a wax pen to wax. Just draw.
But you can't write on it, so you have to kind of peel it. You got to do that little peel of the wax pen. You're like, dang it, it's just right. or I'm just rubbing paper onto this thing. I gotta get more of the wax.
But
and then they squirt it with the Windex and clean it
right.
off
and wipe it down. But
never
it's not
well.
never
clean
really
it well.
Comes clean.
It's always dirty still. And they just start over and you're like, this is filthy.
But as I was wrapping my head around the dichotomy of technologies that are being displayed here,
yes.
then the Stan Simon, the head of development, comes to introduce himself, but he just walks from behind the screen where they were projecting to. So I'm just imagining the shareholders watching this movie, and there's just two legs behind the screen, and they're going, is someone going to walk out from behind the screen? Who's back there? Is there someone standing there? I swear I can see two legs. Sorry, maybe I'm the only one that found that funny. I thought
funny.
That was so funny. He walks out, I'm like, he was just standing there the whole time. Oh, so funny.
That's so true.
So very quickly after they do this presentation, we start to get set up where you have these teenagers, ? That are going to stay the night
yep.
in the mall for a night of drinking,
but
crushing better cheddars and having sex with each other.
But are they teens though? Like,
better
I mean,
cheddars.
They're clearly in. Some of them are in college, but the two that show up later that are like mechanics are married. So
oh right yeah.
So are
yeah,
they?
No, they are.
They're young people.
Do they?
But are,
do they know each other? I don't know how.
How
they know
do they
each
know
other,
each
how
other?
How they're friends? Yeah. It doesn't matter. But here's the thing. They quickly
I really want a better cheddar right now. Oh,
I know,
oh,
right?
Man, dude.
So good.
Oh yeah.
You think they probably had a chicken and a biscuit too there? If they were playing their cards right.
Biscuit.
Oh,
are better
man.
Cheddar's
so,
still around?
Pretty soon, some real time research will find out. Pretty soon,
oh, no.
we have one of the, I think it's Leslie, who's working at one of the stores, and her boyfriend comes in, and he's like super horny, because everyone in this movie is super horny. And he's talking about how he can't wait to get out of there with her. And her dad, who owns the store,
right.
stops them and is like, what are you doing? Now, like, do you think the dad does not understand context clues when someone is obviously lying in front of you? Or do you think he's a dad that's just so checked out that he's like, ah, forget it. Whatever my daughter's going to do is what my daughter's going to do. And I can't control her at this point.
Yeah, because he basically sees her boyfriend come in there and they're clearly up to no good and about to do no good. And then he's like, well, I'm going to go now. She's like, hey,
can you lock up?
Right. And he's like, okay, you know what to do. Bye now. And then gives like a leer, but I'm like, that doesn't mean it. You just let her win, dude. She just won. She just beat you, dude.
Right.
You didn't. You know something's up and you're like, I'm going to walk away. Like, okay.
Yeah. I would venture to guess that there's been a good backstory there where he's put up with her shit for so long that he's just given up at this point. He's like, I can't. There's nothing I can do. And she's also 27. So, I mean, what is he really going to say?
I mean, they're quite old. Just by the way, just for everybody who maybe were just saying out loud while they were listening to this episode, yes, they still make better cheddars. I'm here to tell you they do.
They do. They're available at Walmart.
They're available. Yeah.
Down to the Walmart.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on the website right now. So,
oh, my God. If any business needs, I know we're not at Final Interruptions or Final Questions, but if any business needs a killbot, it's Walmart.
Yeah.
I'm just in there trying to get some better cheddars. I don't need to be hassled. I don't need to be bothered. Killbot, let me get my better cheddars and get out of here.
Totally agree with that.
My better cheddars, my Crocs, and an American flag swimsuit. I'm going to be on my way.
Well, they have distinct centers for those items in a Walmart. You have to just go to those particular sections.
The better cheddars are in snacks. The Crocs are in fashion, and the American bathing suit is in patriotism.
Women's lingerie. Women's negligee.
By the way, we should get to our made-up letterbox synopsis, which we do for our Nearly New World episodes.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
You guys are so... Well, we've been doing this for 5 years, guys. At some point, you've got to figure out our format.
But isn't it fun that Mark and I keep it fresh? Just like the fresh, cheddary taste of better cheddars. Thin, crispy, and delicious.
Be a sponsor, Better
Cheddars.
Come
on, Better Cheddars. What a terrific sponsor that would be. What a wonderful partnership. What a delicious partnership, even. The thin, the crispy, the cheddar. Better Cheddars. I got a commercial in the wings, Better Cheddar. Let's go.
It's ready to go. But while we're at it, we should probably just go to a commercial right now, so we'll be right back.
If you're looking for more horror outside of the mainstream, look no further than Unsung Horrors, a podcast about underseen horror movies. I'm Lance.
And I'm Erica. Every other week, we'll cover a horror movie with fewer than 1,000 views on Letterboxd. We'll even give you double feature recommendations to pair with the movies we discuss.
From gothic to shot on video, from slashers to comedies, from giallo to J-horror, we'll cover all the subgenres. So join us as we unearth these hidden gems of horror.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at Unsung Horrors, available wherever you listen to podcasts. And part of the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
And we're back! Oh, no better cheddars, thank you to our sponsors. It's coming.
You could eat Cheez-Its tonight, but wouldn't you prefer something better?
Yeah. Wouldn't you like all great cheddar taste, but in a thin, crisp cracker? Exclamation point?
I mean, yes. The answer is yes. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Every time
I'm just barely on this charcuterie. Just barely.
Just barely.
Better cheddars to your charcuterie.
Four better cheddars.
Every time I eat
Triscuit crackers,
a slice of freshly cut cheese, I'm like, why isn't this in cracker shape and crunch? I'm lacking all the cracker of this cheese.
Here's a fun fact about Better Cheddar's bait snack cheese crackers 6.5 ounce. It does not have 5 stars. No, it does not, friends. And that's because
it has 6.
No,
because the stars are off the charts. It gets 7 out of 5 stars.
It only has 3.8 stars because Wendy says it's not for dips. I don't remember these crackers being this delicate. she says it's no good. Fred says, how can you call it a cracker? ? 1 star.
The fact that somebody says that like in a room with other people, sure. Somebody said, no, I'm taking this complaint to the interwebs. I'm going to the site. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am creating an account, and I am about to express my displeasure of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here I go. Yeah. Take that, Better Cheddar. And now I can say goodnight.
Yeah. Jennifer says, where's the cheddar? 6 ?
All of these comments are from people that did not have an account before they posted this. They had to register. They had to go to their email and confirm their account.
Oh my gosh.
Then they wrote this.
This is a great time to ask.
I have to read the rest of Jennifer's review because it's making me tear up. It's so great. Listen. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of it. Jennifer says, look, it's been a long time since I've tried these. And as I recall, it used to be full of great, all caps, cheddar flavor. However, during the recession, they must have changed the recipe. Tastes like cardboard now, and I will not purchase again. You tell them, Jennifer. You tell them. The recession took too many things from us, including the cheddar from Better Cheddars. Just a shame. Yep. Just a real shame.
Yeah. That's the thing I'm most angry about.
Oh, yeah.
And then to this point, that's when clearly Cheez-It stepped in with their cheddary cracker and said, we'll and take it from here, cheddar. Better Cheddars.
Yeah.
We'll take that cheddar. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
While you work with your different flavors, we'll just take it from here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
So wait, we do our own.
Yes, we make our own letterbox. We make up our own letterboxed reviews. Synopsises.
The format of the show keeps changing.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's been this way for a long time.
I bet the recession changed the format, Mark. Yeah,
it did.
That's right.
It did. I've been feeling that for a while.
That's right. During the recession, we changed the format of the Nearly New World. So let's go around and find out what your letterbox synopsis would be for Chopping Mall. Let's start with you, Erica.
Ooh, start with me? No, okay.
Wait, you can't be surprised that I'm starting with you when you both don't remember that this is part of the format.
I just don't remember format which I was talked to first. So here we go. Okay, off the fly, I guess. Off the cuff with this new format.
Okay.
Okay. I would say, in a world where shopping malls feel unsafe, 10 shareholders change the game by introducing robots that can do what people can't do. Protect the malls from hunky dudes. Chopping Mall.
I love, too, that even though you have these autonomous robots, you still need someone working in the control center at all times. Like, there needs to be a full-time person.
Are they charging up there? Yeah.
Couldn't that one person just walk around the mall and accomplish basically the same thing?
I mean, but, I don't know. Yeah, maybe if you get them a laser gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that lasers exist in this too. Like, that's just incredible.
It's the best. Yeah. But there's still, you know, the technology that protects against lightning doesn't exist yet.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah. We can't protect against, no one can lightning protect against don't an exist act of God. Yet.
Yeah.
That's
ooh, that's your letterbox. No one can protect against an act of God. Chopping Mall.
Mine would be that the opening of a furniture store in a mall is marred by the smell of sex that permeates the store on its Monday opening. Because as much as I love this movie, I love the fact that these kids are like dancing for maybe 30 seconds and then they're all hooking up individually on different beds, but you're in the same room.
Yeah,
There's no privacy. I just never experienced that. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't have a wild 80s. I mean, I was younger in the 80s, so I wasn't really having wild sex in the 1980s, but or any for that matter. But it just is like, I'm like, that's, and considering we don't know exactly, as you were saying, Mark, we don't really know how they all know each other. It's like they're apparently very comfortable with one another because they're all about to get down in the same store.
I think let's imagine that the killbots didn't happen in this scenario. What drives me nuts, though, is by the time they get to having sex, they've, as you pointed out, they've been dancing. They've been crushing better cheddars. They've shotgunned
crushing them.
Back when they were just filled with cheddar flavor. Right. Right.
Nothing gets me hotter than cheddar. Oh my God. When I'm full of cheddar, I'm just ready to party. You know what I mean? Let's go.
But here's the thing. They make a fucking mess in that store.
A mess.
And I'm thinking, by the time you're like, we've got to go, you've got a solid buzz on. You've got post-sex sleepy time starting to sink in. Mm-hmm. Your belly's full of better cheddars. And you're like, wait, guys, we've got to clean up this horrible mess we made in the store.
Horrible
mess.
I'd
be like, fuck, man. Why didn't we maybe just grab a trash bag and say, everything goes in the trash bag, so we just need to grab the trash bag and leave. Now we've got to do full cleanup duty.
Yeah.
That would have taken me out of the sex zone right there. I would have been like, guys, trash can. Come on, you're making a huge mess. And I'm not going to be the only one that cleans this up.
Right.
I think it would have been the belly full of cheddar that took me out of the sex zone. I'd have been like, I got to go. This is important. I need to step away because it's time.
There is a toilet in the back, correct?
Yeah.
And a shower.
We are in trouble. There,
and a shower. I may need both.
I need the employee locker room, if you know what I mean. I had a ton of cheddar.
I'm going to start with the toilet, but I may need a shower. These better cheddars are running through me. I also threw in a couple of chicken and a biscuit because I was feeling young and risky.
It pairs so well together.
And I didn't think anything could stop me, but as it turns out, there's a couple things could stop me, and they're crackers.
Can you even call them crackers?
This is pre-recession, so they were cheddary crackers back then.
They took all the chicken out of these crackers during the recession. There's no more chicken flavor in these crackers. Oh, God. All right.
Oh, Mark, chicken and a biscuit are so gross.
It is terrible. Though that said, we really should check in with our NWPP VIPs, see if they are better cheddar people or Jesus people, because they might. They might be this whole time going, you guys are really loving better cheddars. They're not as good as Jesus, guys. I don't know what you've been talking about for however long.
They're like, when are we going to talk about the movie? They have been stuck on better cheddars for 20 minutes.
I did not sign up for this better cheddar talk. These guys, is there another podcast that talks about a chopping mall? Yeah, there's like 1,000. Can't handle the better cheddars. Get off the pot. I can't get off the pot. I had all those better cheddars.
Now I gotta go in the shower.
Mark, what is your made-up letterbox synopsis?
All right, this movie is simply a PSA. It's just letting people know that if you're ever trapped in a mall, being chased by a killer robot, just hide behind a dog food bag. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't see through dog food bags. And as long as you have that covering about 20% of your body, they have no idea that you're there.
I did think this particular time through, when during that scene, I was like, this is past Terminator. So we sort of have RoboVision, right? Because Terminator is 84, right? So like the fact that these robots don't have the ability to like have heat sensor or like heat vision or whatever, like any of that stuff, like that's weird, kind of, actually, right? Because they are security robots.
It is. Yeah, you'd expect you would get a little POV shot of like, what are they seeing? I mean, this was after, would it be after Predator 2?
No, Predator is 87, Predator. And this comes out on video on 87 and on a limited theatrical run in 86. So we're not quite to Predator yet, but there still is like some, you know, we see some of the Vision in Terminator. So it's kind of weird they don't have that. That said, these robots cannot get around very, very well. Like, they seem to chase our heroes here, our protagonists, pretty easily. But in reality, you can see, like, when one gets on the elevator, how they have to kind of, like, do, like, the 5-point turn in order to get around. 7-point, really. Right. They're, like, really trying to... I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, like, Austin Powersing into the elevator.
Trying to get in and just to get themselves right. I'm like, these things aren't as... I mean... And also, I love that when they're angry, they just move up their little robot arms. It's like, ding! Like, that's... I love it. It's not very terrifying, but they're robots. They're security robots.
They can't get into an elevator, but they can... They can climb up an escalator or stairs at the same pace as a human being.
Yeah.
Which they never explain, but somehow they can do that.
And they achieve that effect by actually having a human person wear part of a robot. It is real. This is what they did. They had somebody come up the escalator with part of the robot wearing it over them.
Hmm.
So that as they come up the escalator, because they couldn't actually get the robots to come up the escalator and just sitting there, because it was impossible for them to do that.
Oh, you've really shattered my dream of this movie now. I don't think I could ever take it seriously again.
Quickly, Mark, have a better cheddar. Don't worry about it. I do want to talk about how much they're almost are impossible. Speaking of Terminator, they're almost impossible to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they blow up one. Or think that they do by throwing a gas can at it and blowing that up. But it just eventually puts itself up back upright and goes back online and chases them down again.
Yeah.
They're very difficult. Yeah. And they shoot at these things like crazy and it does nothing.
Well, they aren't good shots. I mean, when they're trying to shoot the cans on top of the elevator, they take 25 to 30 shots before...
Well,
I forget her name.
Kelly Maroney has to grab the gun.
Before she finally shoots it.
Yeah.
So maybe they were missing the entire time.
But the robots are also terrible shots, too, because they can't hit anything.
For sure.
Those lasers are going all over the place, but not at the... I don't know what they're aiming at.
Well, and anyone could... If you just picked up a halfway decent jog pace, I'm talking like 11-minute mile, you can outrun them. So... I mean, there's that. Like, they could have just run away every time they saw them, right?
I mean, you would think, though it seems like every time they run, they get caught. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, they can't also, they can't go tight turns. Those wheels are, they're not going to, those treads aren't, they can't, you just need to cut around a corner that maybe is a little tricky and they can't really come, you know, I think you could escape from them. It feels like you could escape from them. That said, and that's the thing about this movie that I think is so charming, though, is that saying that it comes past Terminator, we've seen like sort of like a living human robot, basically. And then we have these old school, and that's why it's awesome that they're watching Attack of the Crab Monsters, because this movie has a lot of that sort of old school Corman 50s drive-in movie kind of appeal with these robots. I mean, to your point, this is a movie that... You said earlier, Mark, when you have the poster and you rent it and you're thinking chopping mall and it's got a chopped off hand and it's like, ooh, death at a mall. And yes, that does happen. But you're not anticipating robots. Not exactly.
No.
Not unless you read the back.
Nope.
And when you get robots, you're like, wait, robots? I mean, and really, this isn't really even a slasher. I mean, not really. It has a lot of like slasher elements, but it's kind of more of like an action movie, really, more than anything else. But there's murders and deaths, and so it kind of has that slasher thing going for it. But the robots are so old school. They're from almost another time, even though they are supposed to be, you know, they have lasers and they're supposed to be updated technology, but it's really kind of an old school idea. And yet we're like, that's cool. Well, I didn't expect robots, but I don't mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, it is more of an action movie with some good, you know, some pretty good chase scenes. And really, they establish very quickly that it's almost impossible to kill the robots, like you pointed out.
Yeah.
So while you can make the argument, and I know we were just making fun of the fact that you could probably outrun these pretty well, and it's a huge shopping mall, there's got to be a place you can just shut a door, bolt it, and be like, eh, they're not going to come in here.
Well, they try to, but they have those lasers that cut through.
Right. They do, but I'm saying you could get away from them to where they don't know where you are.
Sure, sure.
And just be quiet.
Because they can't see through the walls, per se. It doesn't seem right. Like they can.
Or a bag of dog food. They can't see through that.
Well, dog food, yeah. That's the they can't even the mud of Terminator in this. Right. If they could have just grabbed all the dog food from the pet store, they could have run back to the furniture store and just hid behind them, and they would have been like, I guess they're gone.
Well,
they're
I gone. Guess they left.
And then they could have just waited until morning. They also can't
differentiate a live human from a mannequin. So if they just stood behind a mannequin, they would have been totally fine too. But
they could have kept escaping by running to wherever there's a mannequin display and then just like freezing. Yeah. And then waiting until they leave and then running to the next one.
Right. But because they establish that they're so hard to kill, your attention quickly turns to, how are they going to kill these guys? How are they going to kill these robots? The robots are going to find them wherever they, for almost inexplicably, they can't get away from them.
Right, right.
So then, okay, we have to destroy them, but how? Because they seem to survive anything that they throw at them.
Yeah.
So that becomes a fun exploration of like they try so many different tricks, and so many of them fail that you start to think like, wow, these robots are indestructible, and I'm not sure what they're going to do to get away from them.
And is there another movie where a robot is blown up by throwing paint and like turpentine all over the floor and then just blowing the whole place up? I don't think so.
I think this is the only one.
It said, I'm taking down this killer robot with just some elementary school science.
Right. It was a little stroke of genius. When she started doing that, I was thinking, I'm not sure what you're trying to accomplish right now, other than make a giant mess that you're going to have to clean up later. But we've already talked about
Jackson Pollock, bro. She's just making her masterpiece. Throwing paint on the floor. She should have seen the end product, dude. It was probably amazing. If she hadn't blown up, she could have sold it for like $20,000.
Well, but maybe blowing it up added that little burnt texture to it that it needed maybe. To pop.
We never got to see the canvas. Mm. Yeah, that's a bummer.
No, we never did. Yeah. So, I mean, final questions. I know we're not at final questions yet, but really quickly. Do you think our nerdy protagonist, like, do you think that was a relationship that was going to last?
I love listening to the commentary. In the commentary, they show him when he has like the roll of toilet paper where he's got blood on it. It was a lot of blood. By the way, when he falls and they show him and his head's on the ground, there's a ton of blood. And even they say, like, I guess he's okay. And I'm like, you wrote this. Because, like, he fell. There's a ton of blood under his head. And then he's like, I'm here. And he has a toilet paper roll also covered in blood. And he's like, what's up? I'm okay. And it's like, are you sure? You bled out the back of your head like a lot.
Well, he's like the guy from Last Starfighter that lives at the end of Halloween 2. Like, it's right, like ton of blood. Right. But
he still gets like, in the car and tries to start it. He's like, I got just enough circling in the system. What's funny also, every time I watch Shopping Mall, the nerdy guy, Ferdy, I'm also always like, who where is he from? Where do I know this guy? Where do I know him?
Karate Kid.
It's not that though that I think of. I'm thinking of him from Head of the Class.
Oh, right. Yep.
And that's where I'm like, right. Okay. But I have to look it up. Yes, I know. I think he's in Karate Kid 2, but
I think he's in both of them.
Is he in both?
Yeah, I think he is. But you're right. Head of the Class. Right. I do. You're right. He was a big part of Head of the Class.
That's right. He is in Karate Kid. And but he's in Head of the Class is where I really, because I watched it when they switched teachers.
Right, which arguably, it was Howard Hessman left, and then
And then Billy Connolly.
What's his name? Billy Connolly came in, and I actually liked it better.
I was even like, oh, the Scottish guy is great. I'm totally in. Let's keep this going. Head of the class, let's go. And meanwhile, these kids are aging out so hard. They're like, we can't be in high school at all. There's no way you're buying that. It was hard to buy it to start. And now we're like 7 years in. This is getting ludicrous. But yeah, that guy, I was just like, that's head of the class guy. And he didn't do much after that.
Well, and you've got, the Rick, he was in Friday 13th Part 2 as the creepy guy that stares at the girl as she goes skinny dipping and steals her clothes.
That's right. Russell Todd. Yes. Mm-hmm. You got Barbara Crampton, of course, fresh from Fraternity Vacation for New World Pictures. Yep. I believe George Segal's son, maybe nephew, Nick Segal. John Terleski, who is Deathstalker 2. He's in the sequel of Deathstalker that is Jim Wynorski, which is the best of the Deathstalker movies. Not a high bar, but still, not to take away from what they did.
Ryan, you keep mispronouncing it.
Oh, sorry. Deathstalker.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, this has got it's got a great cast.
It's a great cast. Like you mentioned, Dick Miller. You got Paul.
Oh
Bartel,
my God, the Dick Miller Barry scene. Warnoff,
it's such a Dick Miller scene. Of course, totally. He's pissed off. That mop is already filthy. I don't know how he's thinking he's going to get anything.
Then he said he's going to clean this thing up in like 10 minutes. I'm like, dude, you aren't.
All you're doing is spreading whatever you're just
shoving that whatever chocolate shake or whatever you're into cleaning up. You're just rubbing it into the tile. That's all you're doing. And you're going to be like, it'll be dry in the morning and it probably won't stick. So it'll be fine. And no one will notice.
Yeah. I mean, it's an all-star cast. It's super entertaining. And again, 1 hour, 17 minutes. It's so snackable.
It's like a better cheddar. I mean, this thing.
All roads return to better cheddars.
I mean, Roger Corman obviously had his say a little bit in terms of the editing. He stepped in, and they admit that in the commentaries. But also, just shout out Leslie Rosenthal, who edited this movie. It is so briskly paced and like has an incredible headshot. It has some great chase scenes. The fact that you're like, how can they not outrun these things? You can think about Postmortem, but while you're watching it, you're like, gotta get away from that thing, you know, like you're really wrapped up in it. Leslie Rosenthal, she did continue to edit a couple other movies, including other ones for Jim Wynorski, but eventually she leaves editing and she's now like a photographer. That's what she does, is she does street photography. But she's clearly a fantastic editor. This is edited so, so well. This movie just goes. I love the pace of it. It just, you're on such a fun ride and you kind of get it. Even if I hope I'm speaking for another generation here, but I think even if you're not as aware of mall culture, you're not going to be left behind by this movie because it has such a great pace to it.
Yeah. And at the ending credits, at the start of the ending credits, at least, they do it all with a sweet 1980s freeze frame of just taking clips from the movie that you just watched. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to do freeze frames and then put the name of that actor over the freeze frame, which is, I mean, to me, that's all.
That was such an era for
the
that,
young
wasn't
people.
It?
For the wasn't for that? The yes, and why hasn't that come back?
I don't know
why.
Crazy.
We need to bring that back.
It needs to be done all the time. It happens in Predator. You see it in Predator, though. You see people that break and crack up. And that's such an error for that. It should be all the time. We should do. They should make that a rule. You should pass a law.
That and like blooper reels, like they would do for Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit. Yes. Why do we not have those?
Every movie should have bloops.
Bloops at the end. Seriously. Just give us bloops. You know.
Yeah.
Because now we think, because of Marvel movies, well, maybe not you, Mark, but most of us, they sit during credits.
What movies?
We sit during credits and we're like, oh, well, let's see what the extra scene is at the end. And we just sit through the credits, right? And I'm like, why aren't you, while you're watching this, we just see bloops. Didn't they do? They did bloops for like a what? The scene. Fall Guy.
I would never.
Didn't they do that?
I would never sit through that.
No, I mean for any movie is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Marvel has created an expectation that maybe any movie might have an extra scene at the end. But why don't you just...
Now I'm just picturing the movie ends and Mark stands up and just runs as fast as he can out of the theater. I will not watch that anymore. It's over.
Get up, everyone. Get up. We're leaving.
He's in very middle seat. Excuse me.
Excuse me. Pardon me. The movie's over. Everyone, we should be leaving.
Why is everyone still in here?
But if they have bloops, you wouldn't mind sending me credits.
I have 4 boxes of better cheddars. I'm so thirsty. You need to get out to the concession stand and get a Pepsi ASAP.
Oh, man. I'm all out of Pepsi right now.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's a tough day.
And you can get Pepsi at a lot of movie theaters, Mark. You should actually start going again.
Yeah.
I know you stopped during the recession. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those movie theaters are different now. I know they changed during the recession, so I'm not going back.
Yeah, they're not the kind of... I walk into a theater now, I'm like, this is a theater? What are you talking about? The recession's really done a number on these things. Being able to pick a seat in advance, bullshit. I like walking into a theater and be like, well, I guess we're sitting in the front row corner. I like it that way.
Excuse me, I need to go home to my computer so I can write a comment, if you don't mind.
Dear Regal Cinemas, you have axe throwing in your theater? This is bullshit.
You've taken the movies out of the movie theater during the recession, and I noticed.
But it's like Mark 1922 because there was 1,921 other Marks. And I was like, I can't think of a better username, so I'm just going with it.
Mark. My name is Mark. It's what my parents named me, and I'm not changing it for anybody.
You know, you can make up your own persona. That's bullshit.
No.
They need to know it came from me. I'm the one that's leaving this review.
They need to know it's a real person. Mark 1921. A real human.
22, Ryan. Sorry. 22. Oh, so. There was 1,921 other people first.
I meet that Mark 1921. I'm telling you, we are going to have words. Your name better be Mark. I'll tell you that. Your name better be Mark. That will only...
Prove it.
The only thing that will defuse the situation is if your name is legitimately Mark. Well, shopping mall. Huh? We killed it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a nice day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we nailed it. I don't think there's anything more that we can cover here.
No stone has been left unturned.
Nope.
Very true. I mean, I did do a deep dive into Tom McCann stores because I saw that there was a Tom McCann. And I was like, whatever happened to them? They went out of business a long time ago.
There was a Crush Groove and a Licorice Pizza in that mall at the time.
Licorice Pizza, yeah.
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 Which
the first album I bought with my own money was at a Licorice Pizza.
I think that is on, they made up a storefront to look like a Licorice Pizza, and I think it's still there when they made the movie.
Oh, really?
I think it's on Melrose.
I never saw the movie.
And I think it's still there, the storefront, because I've driven by the store, and it still says Licorice Pizza, and I'm like, I fooled myself first time I went by it and thought, do they legitimately open a Licorice Pizza because of the movie? I'm like, no, I think that's because of the movie.
I've seen it.
Thank you.
And so, yeah. But anyway.
It's in Studio City. It's on Ventura in Studio City.
They have that there. There is another one with the old school one. There is a Licorice Pizza there, but I don't know. Is it like a regular record store and stuff?
It looks like it. I'm doing some real-time research and... It looks like it is.
Well, okay.
You could drive down there tomorrow. It opens at 11. Drive down there, check it out.
Okay, all right.
The original was in downtown Long Beach, opened in 1969 by James Greenwood.
Okay, all right. So maybe there's
the one I went to was in Kearney Mesa, but, you know.
Right.
It was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. That was the only one that was nearby. You had to travel to record stores then. And then the Tower Records.
Yeah, well, our sister drove me there.
Okay.
So I felt I was really cool because I was buying my first album and my older sister was taking me there. So I thought, man, it's a real coming of age moment for me.
I would go with our dad to Tower Records. I'm sure you probably went too. And I would take like whatever money I had and buy a 45.
Mm-hmm.
Because those I can afford.
Right. All I need is one song and a B-side that it's probably garbage, but I'll still listen to it.
Right.
I'll still listen to it.
Is how I ended up with Jefferson Starship Sarah. Or actually, just Starship. Sorry, that's just Starship. That's straight up Starship Sarah.
Just Starship.
Man, did I play that song a bunch? That one song.
Guess what, Better Cheddar? That song could work for you. Cheddar, better. Eat a pack of that taste. Better. Cheddar.
The surviving members of Starship just like eating a better cheddar. Giving a thumbs up. Well, this commercial is aimed to a very specific demographic.
Right.
Fans of Starship. Young people are like, who are these old people eating better cheddar?
Right.
What is this song?
And what's a better cheddar?
Right. Don't they know Cheez-Its exist? Is this a new product?
Cheez-It boomer.
I just hope there's a lot of cheddar in them because I've heard from my grandparents that some cheddar crackers took out the cheddar.
Yeah. And they're hardly even a cracker. Better Cheddar Talk has been a great episode.
Oh my God. Guys, it has been great to talk about Better Cheddars and also Chopping Mall with you guys.
Yeah. Don't worry, listeners. When we come back in the new year, it's all Wheat Thins.
That's
talk.
Right. We're going to totally
it's
switch
be really
to a
fun.
Brand new cracker. Brand new year, brand new cracker, as we always say here on the New World Pictures podcast.
See, the format does keep changing.
Keep up.
Just for shits and giggles. Erica, do you have any final thoughts of Chopping Mall?
Oh, I recommend it. Truly. If you're looking for a good time, it's short, it's funny, it is tense at times, but it is truly hard to believe that this is not a New World movie.
Oh, and God, it feels exactly like it. Yeah.
It has all of the elements, so it really is a good time.
It really is born out of everything New World and but delivered to a new company, and you know, because Jim Wynorski was such a student of Corman, and that's so evident in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to make other movies for Corman. He makes Big Bad Mama 2 and other movies for Corman, and he's such a student of it. But man, this just feels so New World. It's crazy. Mark, final thoughts on Chopping Mall?
I absolutely do recommend. This is a movie that is fun. There's some good gore. There's boobies. It doesn't take itself too seriously. In fact, at one point, the Linda character kind of throws a little bit of a temper tantrum, and you know, her friends are consoling her, and she says, "I guess I'm just not used to being chased around a mall by killer robots."
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a mic drop moment. Like, who would?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That line is like, this movie's like, we get it, folks. Mm-hmm. We're not taking ourselves too seriously.
Right. Right.
And it's super fast paced, super fun, totally worth watching.
Yeah. This is a real classic, and I'm glad we got to chat with it here in December 2, Sleigh Bells Ring. We hope you enjoyed this episode. That's it for December. We're going to see you in the new year, but we'll be promoting some other episodes that we did in around December because, you know, last December we talked about Hellraiser 2, Hellbound Hellraiser 2, because that was released by New World Pictures around the holidays, right before Christmas. And we'll be throwing out some of our other holiday movies that we have watched as we take a little break and start fresh in the new year. So we hope we will see you then. If you want to follow us and all of our exploits, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find all of our episodes, t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt for a friend, family member, enemy. You can pick them all up there at our website. And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description